This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
All right, welcome back to Baseball Outside the Box, where we bring you the most innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds who love to challenge the status quo. Hello again, I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. We're doing the show from the studios of the Lineup Media Group. I want to welcome back again Alan Jaeger, owner of the world-renowned Jaeger Sports, a program which helps athletes develop physically, but more importantly, how to be in the best state of mind to perform at the highest level. Alan, we are back, and it's exciting because now we're going to get into the actual techniques and also how to implement it in the practice. But let's start with, when you talk about the breathing part, let's start with maybe letting our coaches understand, you know, how this works as far as the technique. How do you start working on getting kids to breathe properly?
Well, you're going to laugh, but the most important part probably is the start. it's the doing. I mean, honestly, there are millions of ways to meditate. And we talked earlier about the breath, yes, being the central theme. But the most important thing is the discipline and the prioritizing to do it. So number one, the word I use all the time is continuity. It's like anything in life again. If you want to have consistency, you need to probably be consistent with what you put in. So rule number one is make it consistent. Rule number two is whatever practice you're going to do, at the end of the day, the idea is that what you're really teaching kids to do is have a practice where they're able to make a break from stuff that's going on in their day-to-day world. Mm-hmm. So to keep things very simple, let's use a very simple breathing exercise, something a coach can do to, you know, implement immediately. So number one, we talked about the doing is the priority. Number two, what are we going to do? Well, I have an article that we referenced earlier. It's free. It's online. All I have to do is go to our website. There's an article link in the upper right corner. It's very simple. If they click on the article link, they'll scan on all the articles that are up there. And there's one that just says mental practice plan. It's just bottom line. It's how do I implement mental practice into our daily plan? And you notice I said the word daily.
Yes.
Not tri-monthly.
This should be at the top. This should be at the top of your practice plan. One Absolutely. Of the most important things.
Well, if the game's 99% mental, eventually.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, where's our priority? I mean, it's, you know, I'm trying to be as clear as possible. If someone says, well, high school's, you know, only 90%. All right, great. 90%. And where are we putting it in our practice plan? So I love what you said. Put it at the top. So again, the article will go into great detail and really help coaches feel comfortable not only doing this on their own, but eventually leading their players through it. And the idea to the article is, I wrote it for that reason. I don't want coaches feeling overwhelmed or that they have to have a, you know, degree in psychology or they have to have a master's degree or they have to go to a meditation school for 10 years. I wanted them to feel like, look, if I read this article and I maybe practice this a few times on my own, I'm basically going to get my kids to stop, whether I'm sitting down or laying down. I'm going to get them to stop from wherever they've come to, make a break, put them in a place where now we're going to do some mental practice. Maybe it's 10 minutes, maybe it's 15 minutes, but that's going to be the segue. And then in that time of the practice, I'm basically going to teach them about getting into their breathing, teaching them about what it means to maybe relax and let go, and then I'm going to bring them out. So it's sort of like this, I always use the analogy of a sandwich. You have the bread, you have what's on the inside, and you have the piece of bread. So the beginning is sort of like teaching them how to make a break from where they've been. So stop and let stuff go. Get present. You know, so that's sort of the getting in the right frame of mind, if you will. So that's like the first piece of bread. the middle part is the exercise itself, and whether it's breathing or, you know, or visualizing or whatever you do in the middle part, you do. And then the last part is how you bring them out. And so I'm trying to keep this very simple. It's an A, B, and C, and that's what the article gets into. So the A part, if I can, I'll try to summarize this briefly, time-wise.
Yeah, and that's okay. Take the coaches, if you want, through the steps.
Okay
no
perfect.
Problem. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pretend like you or the listeners are the coaches, or you could even be the players, either way.
Now, just to make sure, this isn't going to be where all of a sudden I get really into it and then I fall asleep and then we can't finish the show?
No, but if you did fall asleep, it just means you need to rest.
No, that means it works. It means I'm in that state of mind. I mean, that's good.
Well, how about this? How about if after this little talk is done, the last part of the show, you feel like you're more in a zone than you were the first part?
Exactly.
Even though you sound like you're in a zone already.
Well, I don't know. I think I'm going to need this more. It's going to make me much better at what I do here on the show.
Okay, well, here I like that. Let's do this. Obviously, it won't be a full 10 or 15 minutes, but I'll at least take you through the skeleton.
Perfect.
Of how I would start it, kind of a little bit of what the middle part would be like, and again, how would I bring you out? And again, this is in much more detail. It's still I still try to keep it very concise in the article, but there's much more detail, of course, in the article. So
sure. Here's
what I'm going to do. Why don't I do this? Why don't I take you through a mini meditation right now, and I'll hit the A, B, and C. How's that sound?
Perfect. Let's do it.
Good? Okay.
Yep.
So the first thing I'm going to do, and I'm going to say you, even though this could be something I'm talking to a group of players or coaches or parents, but I'm going to just talk to you right now. And so the first thing I'd have you do is if you're sitting or laying down, I just want you to take 10 seconds. And all I want you to do is I want you to notice any part of your physical body that's touching something that's supporting you. So in the case of a chair, you know, obviously it'd be the cushion you're sitting on or the back support. And I want you to close your eyes. And by the way, when you do mental practice, the idea is helpful to close your eyes because it eliminates the stimuli that when you have your eyes open. It doesn't mean you can't do it with your eyes open, but number one I'd suggest to people is to close your eyes. So what I'd like you to do is, if you don't feel like you're going to fall into something, is close your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why if anybody's listening to this driving, please don't do this right now.
Yeah.
Do it later.
Good idea.
This is only if you are not driving a car and operating heavy machinery. you have permission to do this, so to speak. Just kidding. Not kidding, but you know what I mean. So, yes. So, first thing I want you to do is close your eyes. Secondly, the reason I want you to feel what's supporting you is there's two reasons why. One is I want to get the person out of their head and out of their thoughts. Thoughts tend to be future and past. And some people would argue thoughts are really only future and past. So I want to get you out of the future and the past, and I want you to get into the present moment. So by getting you into your body and by having your body feel what is supporting it, it's doing two things. One, it's getting into your body and it's getting out of your head, which is very important to get in your body. And two, it's very much consistent with a zone quality, which is called letting go or trusting.
Mm-hmm.
So by you feeling what's supporting you, it's sort of like you saying, oh, this is cool. I'm letting something else do the work. I'm letting go. I'm letting the chair or the couch or the ground support me. And what a cool concept that is. I'm letting something else support me. I'm not trying necessarily to relax. Just allowing. I'm allowing something else to support me. That's a very powerful metaphor. So we're going to start with that. The last thing I'll say is this before we start the breathing is if any thoughts come in your mind, they're not right or wrong. They're not good or bad. You're not going to try to block them out or push them away, which tends to give them energy. They're okay. You're just going to let them be, but we're going to redirect our attention over and over back to either your breathing or wherever I guide you. Okay, so that's the only thing is thoughts can come in. They're not going to be judged as right or wrong. We're going to be what's called neutral. Neutral to the thoughts. Okay, so now that we've established that, the next thing I want you to do, and sometimes I'll have people actually put their hand on their belly area because what we want to do is engage the diaphragm. The diaphragm is where we want the breath to first come from because we actually will get more oxygen that way. So really, we're supposed to breathe from the diaphragm and then up into the lungs. For some people, that might be hard to do at first because they've spent more time breathing out of the chest. And the cool thing is that if you spend a little bit of time practicing breathing, the breath will tend to go down to the diaphragm pretty quickly, which is a sign that the breath is trying to help us out. Especially if we're spending the time to introduce it back to its natural place, if you will. So, hand on the stomach just for maybe 30 seconds, just to bring some awareness there. And all I want you to do, Pete, is when you feel the next inhalation come in, I want you to just watch it and notice it like you're the best private investigator in the world. And I don't want you to judge it as is it short or is it long or is it choppy or is it tight? Am I doing this right or wrong? I just want you to notice whatever it's doing. And then when you exhale the breath, same thing. I just want you to notice, is it long? Is it short? Is it making a sound? Is it not making a sound? So we're just going to do this for about 30 seconds. You're just going to watch the breathing. And again, remember, if thoughts come in the mind, even thoughts like, why am I doing this? Just no response. Just let that be. And just bring your attention back to, what's my inhale doing? What's my exhale doing? Oh, there's a space between the inhale and the exhale. And there's a space between the exhale and the inhale. So in a way, I really want you to notice everything that revolves around your breathing, even if you're not technically breathing in that moment. And just pay attention to that. And again, thoughts can come in the mind. That's okay. We're not focusing on the mind. We're focusing on the breathing. And then after you do this for a little bit, and I'm just adding an extra little piece in here. But now we're going to count the breath. And this is great because it gives your mind even more of a place to go, if you will, a more of a attentive place. So by counting your breath, what I mean by that is when you feel the next inhalation, you're just going to count like the number one. And you can visualize a number one, or you can see yourself writing a number one on a chalkboard. You can feel your whole body as a number one. The more creative, in a way, the better. And then when you feel the next exhale come out, that's going to be a number two. And all I want you to do is try to count to 20 without losing track. Now, that doesn't mean thoughts have to be completely not there. It just means thoughts don't matter. Can you keep your attention and your concentration on the count? So the next inhale would be a 3, and the next exhale would be a 4, and so on. So you're just going to count the breath and just try to get to 20. And if you lose track, no big deal. Just go back to 1 again and start again. And I'm just going to give you another 30 to 60 seconds to kind of do this on your own. And then I'll come back in and start to bring you out. So again, just as a reminder, we're just going to count the breath any way you want. If thoughts come in the mind, it's okay. All we're doing is we're just going to keep redirecting our attention and bringing our focus to, okay, my inhale is 1, my exhale is 2, my inhale 3, exhale 4, and let the pace of the breath dictate however it wants to go. There's no right or wrong way of doing this. We're just going to let the breath instinctively dictate the pace.
Now, I know you were talking, and I had done 20, and that sounds like you're learning, or you're listening to your breath and you're allowing it to do what it does naturally instead of trying to change it.
Exactly. And just so you know, so I want you to keep that feedback for a second because I love it. It's actually very, very important feedback. Mm-hmm. But what I want to do is I'm going to bring you out. So I've done the A and B with you.
Sure.
So now I want to do the C. So the B would be you're counting your breath, you're watching your breath. Eventually it could be some visualization, but at some point I'm going to bring you out, and that's what I'm going to do right now. So here's what I'm going to do is pretend like, you're still breathing, you counted or whatever you were counting to, and I'm going to come in now and say, okay, Pete, wherever you're at with your counting, whether you're at 20 or 30 or you've done it twice. Actually, I wouldn't use that many words, but I just say, okay, at this point, what I'd like you to do is bring your attention back to your breathing if you're not there. And we're just going to take a few deep breaths to help transition us out of the practice and into the rest of the day. And here's how we're going to do that. When you feel the next inhalation come to you as an instinct, I just want you to help the breath out a little bit and deepen it. So you're going to take in a little bit more oxygen than normal. And then I want you to hold the breath. So try to do the belly and then the chest. So take a deeper breath. Hold the breath for 2 or 3 seconds. And as you exhale the breath, I want you to try to exhale the breath as slowly and smoothly and evenly as possible, so that as much oxygen comes out at the beginning, middle, and end fluidly. And when that breath exhausts, let the inhale come back as an instinct, so don't rush it. And again, help the breath out, maybe taking a little bit more air than normal. And then you're going to hold that breath again for 3 seconds. And then you're going to release the breath again, evenly and smoothly and fluidly. And I'm going to let you do 3 more of those on your own. And if I was in person with you, I could see by your eyes when you open your eyes that you're done. But I want you to do 3 more breaths on your own. And I would normally let people do more or less as many as they want, because they'll come out when they're ready to come out.
That's perfect.
But you'll do three. Let's say you did 3 more breaths. In fact, I'm going to be quiet for 30 more seconds. I'm going to let you take a couple more breaths. But what I want you to do is, as you're taking these last few breaths, is just remind yourself as you're exhaling this breath out. Just remind yourself that you're beginning to feel completely relaxed and completely clear-minded and completely energized and completely focused. So just give yourself a few reminders of how you feel and how you want to take this with you as you make your way out of the session. And so the idea is that as you start to make your way out, you're beginning to feel and remind yourself that you're beginning to feel more refreshed and more alert and more clear-minded and more energized.
Yeah, less clutter.
Less cluttered, probably. If you were to write down for 30 seconds, you'd probably write down a few other things that would just jump out at you. You'd probably feel a little more present. You probably feel maybe a little bit more, your senses might be a little bit more, you know, a little stronger. You probably have a sense of being a lot more in the present moment. But again, the idea is that this is a very modified version, but the point is those are the A, B's, and C's. The getting you into the right frame of mind, getting in your body, getting you to let go, and then doing some practice with the breathing or whatever you practice. And then I brought you up by just culminating it with, hey, you know, we've done some good work here. We've had a chance to really relax and clear our minds. And now we're going to make our way out of the session, and we're going to take this with us, like the tortoise in the shell. We're going to take this with us into the rest of our day. Or if this is in the clubhouse or locker room, you're going to take it into the game. Mm-hmm. And now this was one modified session. If you and I, and this is one of my favorite questions I like to ask when I do meditations, if you and I met every day, and granted we had 15 or 20 minutes to really get into this and really take our time, and we did this every day for the next month, how would you project 30 days later, doing this every day for 30 days, what would you project would happen to you beneficially in your life?
Well, just as a novice, not understanding the brain and the mind and all that, thinking that, you know, Yeah, how clear would your mind be when you've done this so many times compared to if you're taking 100 swings? You know, that's a mechanical issue where the brain controls so much, so it just makes so much sense. And you kept it so simple for the average person, myself, or even a youth coach, you know, a dad or mom that are just working with young kids who can actually, you know, do this type of program very easily. The one thing I would recommend, and I think you hit it earlier, you said, you know, we as coaches should do it. I think the reason we need to do it also is because, you know, it's still going to be a salesmanship. You have to sell this to obviously your teammates a little bit, or your team, or your parents. And what better way to sell it than to go through the program?
It's a profound point, really. And I agree with you 1,000,000%. And that's one of the reasons why I always tell people, you know, do it yourself. Number one, I want you to get the benefits. But number two, when you bring this to the powers that be or your kids or whoever, I want you coming from a place of experience. And I want you inspired and passionate because you're living it and you're feeling
yep.
it.
Yep.
So huge point, Pete. Really, really great point.
Yeah, and our coaches and players and parents, I'd recommend if you're a coach out there anywhere in the world, or in the U.S. or wherever you're from, you know, if you're going to do the program, which not if, it's a must to do the program because, I mean, we just went through it and you saw that if we don't work on the breathing and, you know, it's kids won't be as relaxed or in that state of mind better when they're playing the game. But remember, go through the program. Show it to the parents so that way communication is clear. Because, you know, I could just imagine, Alan, we all of a sudden the coach goes out to the field and he starts having kids lay out and do some mental training, and the parents have no idea. You know, they're wondering, well, is this baseball practice? So obviously, I think we're all pretty smart to understand that we need to communicate with anything we do. And then obviously it becomes much easier. But here's what I did want to ask you. Alan, now this program, as you're doing, and obviously it's something you want to do all the time, continue, you know, throughout the year, off season. There's no reason to break on doing this. What about, how does this translate into the game if a player gets nervous? Does he do it between innings, or, you know, or there's something else that he can do when he's in the field that can help?
It's a great question. So I'm going to use you as an example. If you and I did this, meaning you were doing this every day for the next 30 days or 90 days,
mm-hmm.
imagine 2 years.
Yeah.
Think in terms of ground balls or hacks, you know, the baseball swings, all that stuff. It's the same idea, meaning you become what you practice. You have a better chance of your default becoming who you are. So again, the idea is you become more of a just relaxed, clear-minded, less stressed, less worried about the future and past and things out of your control. You start becoming this person. Well, yeah, because we're, you know, we may have a human experience where the bases are loaded and we may have a little, you know, a little yank at the side of tension or nervousness. Well, the idea is that you have a home to go to, like that tortoise in the shell. You have a chance to step off the mound, come out of the batter's box,
mm-hmm.
take a couple breaths. It's not like you have to do a full session. Yeah, if you're between innings and you're a starting pitcher or you're a pitcher, you actually have the luxury of 4 or 5 minutes where you actually might get 2 or 3 minutes of some breathing, and you might go into the clubhouse or the tunnel or the locker room, wherever. You know, I think it's something you may start seeing more athletes do. You may start seeing them on the side, just kind of, hey, I'm in my own world. But I think to answer your question is that, the more deposits you make in the bank, the more time you spend doing this and becoming this, then if you get in a game situation where you feel like you need to go to it, you have a chance, especially if your default has actually been changed pretty strongly, you have a chance to get back really fast. Remember, we talked earlier about that term baseline.
Yeah.
You know, you tend to have a great baseline from doing the work, doing the discipline, doing the practice. And so it might come up 2 or 3 times in a game where you got to back off the mound, you got to take a couple deep breaths, you got to come back to your process, which for a pitcher might be a focal point, an attacking or a hitter it might be, hey, just see the ball well and trust my hands. So whatever it is, the idea is that, yes, you have this recall, if you will, that can be very, very strong because you've put the hard work in and the practice. And so,
well, that,
yeah.
And I was going to say that really clears it up, because when you said the recall, the thing that came to my mind was, well, if you've gone through the program a little bit, even if you've done it for a week, you can always, now when you're on the field, like you said, you can go right back to it. Now, if you've never done it and then you just start working on your breathing, well, I don't think that's really going to help you.
It's like saying to somebody, I'm going to take BP, you know, once a month and roll the dice.
Right.
it sounds good in theory. You know, guys don't go in the workout and the weight, you know, I don't know if weight room is the right term anymore. I don't know what they use, but you know, you don't just go somewhere, you don't stretch for, you know, 10 minutes twice a week and then not expect your body to be maybe vulnerable. So meditation, that's why this article, the title, I wanted it to be something along the lines of mental practice plan, because I wanted to make the clear connection with, it's a practice. It's part of the plan. We have a practice plan every day. Well, guess what? We have a meditation every day. We have a mental practice every day. Why would mental practice not be part of a daily plan? I don't care if you only have an hour. I don't care if you have to cut out PFP for the day. You have to prioritize. If the mental game is 99% eventually, how would you not prioritize mental practice? That, yes, it's nice to talk, you know, about pitch to pitch, stay in the present moment, and that counts. But to me, and I've said this a million times, where the rubber meets the road in the mental game is the work, is the practice. It's one thing for me to tell you, hey, stay in the present moment. It's really good advice. It's another thing if you've experienced being in the present moment for 15 minutes a day for the last 6 months, because you're doing the work every day and you're living it. Now, if I tell you to stay in the present moment after 6 months, it's got a lot of teeth to it, right?
Absolutely, that made 100% sense, and I love it. And here's the thing I wanted to just kind of mention, because, you know, I'm a huge believer, and I've been for years, that the foundation of our sport and is at the grassroots level. And if we get the coaches, you know, at the grassroots level doing the right things, then it's much easier as we're developing the athletes mentally. It's much easier for the other coaches that when they get them to continue to develop them. But also because the training's better and we're helping our volunteers, or we're helping coaches at the grassroots level, that kids will have a lot more fun. They'll stay in the game. We'll even get more kids to play the game. And I think that's very important. So I believe, and I just want your reassurance as the expert here, I believe that, and as you said, anybody can do this. And the sooner we can do this with young kids, and young coaches, whoever it may be, the better.
Well, and I would add that, you know, I guess I look at life like, you know, things are evolving, fortunately. Some people might say devolving, but I'm an optimist, and, you know, I think, generally speaking, things are evolving. I mean, it's obvious. I mean, if you look at technology and you look at science and, you know, so we're definitely evolving.
And, I agree.
And it's a positive. However, the question becomes, which I've brought this up before, the question becomes, is it going to take 5 more years or 10 more years or 20 more years before our society gets it? I mean, we're getting it. You know, one of the analogies I use all the time is, you know, yoga. You know, 20 years ago, how many yoga studios were there in the country, and 10 years ago and 5 years ago and today? And, you know, to me, it's symbolic of the fact that people are becoming more aware of health and well-being in their bodies and their minds and their spirits. Mm-hmm. So I do believe, of course, we're evolving, and I do believe it's coming. And if you look again in baseball, in the baseball circles, you do hear, you know, every year at the ABCA, there's at least one or two guys talking mental games. So it clearly is becoming part of the culture. The, you know, if you hear a lot of the best coaches out there that I know, I mean, the ones that I think are the most consistently successful, it's obvious that they're hugely invested into the mental game. So the good news is it's coming. The question becomes, is it going to take 5 or 10 or 15? And I have the same theory, by the way, about elementary school with the young kids. You know, how do we not have a 10 or 15 minute period every day where kids just learn to breathe or be quiet or relax or be, you know, use their mind creatively, just to put time aside for them to just stop. I mean, especially with all the technology out there. So,
sure.
You know, along those lines, and this is sort of my, I guess, stance with coaches is I try to never guilt them to do this, but I always encourage them, especially the young coaches coming up, not especially any coach, is implement mental practice into your daily plan. It's time. It's just part of it. And, you know, there's some coaches out there I'm very close with that, you know, one of the first coaches I ever really kind of did an internship and worked for was Rich Hill at the University of San Diego. And as far as I know, Rich has been doing some form of a meditation practice with his players every single day for, I'm going to say, 5 to 10 years. Now, he's been doing some form of mental practice for probably 20 years, at least since I've met him, which is 92. So that's probably 25 years now. I think Ed Blankmeyer at St. John's does a breathing practice. I don't know if it's every single day, but I know Tim Corbin the other, you know, recently I talked to his wife Maggie about this. You know, he's starting to really look into mindfulness and meditation practice. I just think it's part of the culture. I think it's coming, and it again, it's a question of is it coming, you know, hopefully today for some coaches and hopefully soon for other coaches, but. I think that's what we're really trying to do right here, of course, is move the curve up and speed it up, because why not? How is this not, you know, if you look at it, I guess, from the other point of view and you step back, how are we not doing it is a question. Like, I'm not trying to be the person here to say that, you know, it's my way or the highway kind of thing. I'm trying to be as objective as possible and just say, if you crunch the numbers and you look at the facts, and we all know how mental this game is, and you step back and you say, wait a minute, how are we not doing this? How is every major league team not having their players every day in spring training spending 10 or 15 minutes doing some kind of breath work? How is every college? How is every high school not doing
it? Yeah, and I have to agree, and I have to confess, I can't believe I haven't been doing it, not just as a coach, but as a professional, whether it was for the podcast to get better at or for anything I do in life, you know, yeah, I can't agree more. And I think you're right. I think the culture is changing, and hopefully, you know, we can continue to reach out to, again, I believe in the grassroots level, because if we reach out to the grassroots level, all those people move up and they continue to do the program. Now we're coming to the end, and here's what I wanted to, I think this is important you address this. Couple things. One, this type of program can also be implemented in, and I read the article. I think it's outstanding. So we're going to put that on the website.
Thank you.
You can implement in the bullpens. You can implement in batting practice. I want you to explain that a little bit, along with how important the terminology that you use relates to this.
Okay, well, I'm always going to come back to rule number one, which is if the practice is in place daily, then the adjustments in the bullpens and batting practice is relatively minor. They're it's the same as mechanics in a way. It's really more about tweaking, right? So the idea is that if you have the practice in place and then you become it, which, you know, you can tell I like that concept, you become what you practice, then as you become it, Pete, then it's like, okay, so during BP, maybe I took a couple bad swings. Let me step out, take a couple breaths, get back to my process, get back to my breathing, get back to my instincts, and trust it. Bullpen's the same thing. It doesn't have to be real heavy. It's just some simple reminders. The terminology, which was a great question you asked as well, is you start learning, and this part of it becomes a byproduct of you, the coach themselves, having their own practice. They become very intimate with the meditation. They become intimate with how they feel because of it. Well, guess what? Now all of a sudden, the words you're giving are coming from a very meaningful, real, authentic place.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're able to say, hey, take a deep breath, but you're not just saying it like a robot. You're saying it like, man, you've lived it. And like, hey, let's take a deep breath. Let's get quiet. Well, because you know what it feels like to be quiet, because hopefully you're getting that when you practice. So the terminology is going to be very consistent with what you've become through the practice. And it's like anything else in life. If you know, if you and I never wrote a computer program before and we spent a year studying it to where we actually could write a computer program, which, by the way, scares the crap out of me,
yeah.
all of a sudden we can talk terminology and we can express it clearly. And I think it's no different. I think at the end of the day, kids that become this, it's sort of the idea is it becomes part of their nature and it's who they are in practice and in games. And as a coach, your tweaks are minor. And yeah, you come in when you need to come in. And if you need to come in a little heavy, you do. But the idea is that there's a lot of familiarity with what's going on. And that's the beauty of this is it becomes familiar.
That's awesome. And Alan, this has been fascinating. It's been outstanding. What a show. I think coaches are going to love this show. It's going to be up this Wednesday. We'll obviously, all the coaches get notifications. I want to thank you for a couple reasons. One, from the standpoint of the International Sports Group, who we talked about earlier, who I'm part of, you've gone all over the world for us and to spread the word, you know, about this and about, you know, developing the game. So we appreciate that. And also I want to thank you for being on the show because I know you're in great demand. You're in a lot of podcasts. I encourage coaches to listen to a lot of different podcasts to broaden their horizons, to get better at, you know, at coaching. So I want to thank you for that. And I look forward, hopefully, to seeing you somewhere, either in the U.S. or here or somewhere in the world.
Well, again, it's an honor to be on. And congrats, by the way, I got your email earlier about your continued involvement with the WBC, and
thank you.
Inspiring, man, what you're doing. And as you know, I've spent a little bit of time with the coaches at the ABCA, with the international group, and Tom O'Connell, and all those guys. And I got to tell you, I enjoy it. I get so inspired seeing these coaches from all over the world that are passionate about baseball and passionate about development. And you know, you are a huge piece to that. So listen, I like I said earlier, it's an honor to be on this, and I so appreciate what you're doing, and I so appreciate your open mind to bringing in, you know, stuff like this. So thanks again for having me on, buddy. It's been a treat.
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate it. And to all our listeners, we really appreciate listening to the show. You know, you are what makes our show. If we don't have listeners, we don't have a show. It's that simple. What I want you to do is I want you to go to our website, but also go to Alan's website. He's got so much information, articles. There's so much there. And Alan, you know, we haven't talked about it. He's also an expert in arm care. He's got the J-bands. But check out the website at jagersports.com. And again, that's jagersports.com, jagersports.com. And don't forget to go to his Twitter at jagersports. Again, his Twitter at jagersports. He's constantly got great information on Twitter, tips and everything. He's very accessible. So don't forget, Alan Jager, thank you very much. We hope that our guests can help us spread the show, because the more we spread the show, the more educated coaches become. It's free. We believe it's a very good show. We want to make it better. Send us, you know, I mention it all the time, send us whatever information, whatever questions you have to our email at info@baseballoutsidethebox.com. We'll get back to you right away. It's very important that we communicate with our audience all the time. Go to our website, baseballoutsidethebox.com. Check out all the stuff on our website. We got a lot of tips there too. We are also on Twitter at baseballout, where we try to place as many tips and videos as possible. And remember, coaches, education is the key to building the foundation of our sport. So keep getting smarter by listening to the show that interviews baseball's best coaching minds with innovative thoughts that like to challenge the status quo. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Have a great coaching day, and I will see you.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.